Jesus didn't do things by half measures. His compassion wasn't ordinary, everyday compassion. It was radical compassion. His power wasn't religious power. It was God's awesome power. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond. Thanks so much for joining me again on Christianity Works. Today we're continuing in this teaching series called How to Live an Extraordinary Life. So as we share this time together, I'm praying that God will reveal His amazing goodness towards you by His Spirit and His Word. I have a confession to make. I'm not naturally a compassionate person. How about you? Now, that doesn't mean that I don't care about people deeply. I do. But I'm not naturally compassionate. So, what's compassion? My dictionary tells me that compassion is a sympathetic pity and concern for the suffering or the misfortunes of others. It's derived from an old Middle English word that comes from an even older French word that's derived from an even older ecclesiastical Latin word that means to suffer with. In other words, to feel someone else's pain and then to act on that and to do something about it. I'm pretty good at the second part, acting on it and doing something about it. I'm not always that good at the first part, actually feeling someone else's pain. Why? Because of the way I'm wired on the inside. Because of my motivations and my personality type. Read Romans chapter 12 in the New Testament and you'll find several different motivational giftings. Some of them involve a lot of compassion and others don't. A leader who's too compassionate just won't get anything done. On the other hand, people involved in caring for others, well, they're naturally good at feeling someone else's pain, which is why we absolutely love people like that. So, why am I telling you this? Because today we're continuing our look at what it means to lead an extraordinary life by looking at how Jesus lived his life. And one of the things he had in his makeup, we see it quite clearly on a number of occasions, is compassion. And I guess as we take a look at this side of Jesus, I wanted to make the point that just because we don't all have compassion naturally wired into our DNA doesn't mean that we shouldn't show it from time to time. Have a listen to one of the compassionate things that Jesus did. Matthew chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. When Jesus had come down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And there was a leper who came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you choose, you can make me clean." He stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I do choose, be made clean." Immediately the leprosy was cleansed. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them." Great crowds follow Jesus. He was a celebrity, a megastar, doing what I do. Preaching the gospel, often I'm dealing with crowds, whether here through the radio or when I'm speaking at a church or an event. And as someone who's naturally wired with not a huge amount of compassion, can I tell you how safe and how easy that is? Speaking in front of people, you're detached. You rely on the fact that as the guy up front, you're separated from the crowd. And that could easily have been the attitude that Jesus took. I'll stick away from the messy individuals with all those problems and pains that are going to inconvenience me, and I'll just preach to the big crowds. We all have our way of isolating ourselves from the pains and the problems of difficult people. Some live in gated communities. Some have stopped attending churches. We withdraw and we try to make ourselves comfortable. But Jesus met the leper who was smelly with open pussy wounds, the leper whom others reviled, whom God's own law segregated from mainstream society. And when the leper said to Jesus, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean," Jesus did the one thing that no one had done since this man had started exhibiting the signs of leprosy. Jesus reached out and touched him. Touching the leper, now that's compassion. That speaks of the value that Jesus placed on this one man in his isolation and pain and suffering. In fact, Mark's gospel account tells us that Jesus was moved with compassion and that that's what caused him to reach out and touch this outcast. And the sense of the original Greek word translated into the English word compassion was that it was a deep gut reaction. It was something that Jesus felt in the core of his very being. And it was that feeling, literally the feeling of suffering with that leper in his heart, in his belly, in his gut, that caused Jesus to reach out, to touch him, and to heal him. One of the reasons often we don't suffer with people is that we're too busy. When I think about who I am, because I'm a driven, outcome-focused, delivery-oriented kind of guy, time is at a premium for me. Now, don't get me wrong, in the mix of things, we need people like that, just as we need people who are nowhere near as time-focused, but who have buckets of compassion in their hearts. And what I've noticed is that when I slow down and just focus on the individual at hand, when I take the time to understand them and what they're going through, I too can experience that sense of compassion just like the next person. It's the speed at which we move sometimes that stops us from feeling and showing compassion. See, I want to skip right over the feeling bit and the showing bit to the doing bit. What can I do to help this person? That's my natural desire. And there's a 50-50 chance that you're like that too. But often that's not what they need. The biggest thing that someone who's suffering needs is someone to stop and to be moved and impacted by their suffering. Sometimes just to understand them, to listen to them, to be with them. I remember at a time in my life when I was suffering the biggest thing that I've ever suffered in my 50-something years on this earth, there were some people who wept with me. That's in fact the most powerful thing anyone's ever done with me or for me. A truly extraordinary person is someone who shows compassion. Whether or not it comes naturally, truth is, if we'll just slow down a bit, take the foot off the accelerator a bit, we're all capable of suffering with someone. We're all capable of feeling their pain. We're all capable of showing them that we feel their pain, and that will be one of the most transformative experiences of their lives. I can tell you that because I've had to learn it, because it doesn't come naturally to me. I'm still learning it, and I'll be learning it until the day I breathe my last breath. That leper, I mean, I am sure that he was absolutely over the moon at being healed. In fact, we know he was. Mark tells us he went racing around showing everyone what Jesus had done, even though Jesus had expressly asked him not to. This guy was completely, totally over the moon. And why wouldn't you be? I would be, you would be. But I'm absolutely certain that in the days, weeks, months, and even years that followed, as he sat quietly by the fire in the evening at home, remembering that day in his life when Jesus reached out and touched him, that it's the love and the compassion that Jesus showed him that would bring tears to his eyes. What do you think? Compassion is one of the things that sets a person apart. Compassion is one of the things that enables an ordinary person like you and me to live an extraordinary life. Compassion in this day and age truly is extraordinary.
I'm Bernie Diamond and you're listening to Christianity Works. I just wanted to take a moment to share something truly important with you. This program that you're listening to right at the moment is heard not just here on your station, but through over 1,350 stations in 160 countries around the world. And yet we face so much spiritual opposition in so many places because, frankly, our enemy, the devil, doesn't want millions of people each week hearing about Jesus. So can I ask you a huge favor? Would you pray with me that God would open many, many more doors around the world for us to share the stunningly good news of Jesus Christ with the lost? Because our heart, His heart, is to reach the unreached with His love. If you're serious about praying with me, you can check out this month's prayer list at ChristianityWorks.com. And while you're there, don't forget there's a treasure trove of resources in the Media Lounge, conveniently arranged so that you can find exactly what you need for today. Topics like low self-esteem, like suffering, like adversity, relationships, lots more. God's word is so powerful. So check out that Media Lounge at ChristianityWorks.com. I want to see your life transformed as you receive God's word into your heart. Now, sometimes it seems that life is just a series of power plays. It's all about who has power over whom. But there's a different sort of power. The power of God. There's nothing at all that compares to God's power. And that extraordinary power is available to anyone who trusts in Jesus.
I wonder what the word power means to you. There's electrical power, there's political power, and then there's another type of power. It's a power that's set completely apart from any other kind of power that you and I know about, think about, or have ever experienced. And that power is the power of God. Why is it different? Because it is greater than any power that you and I can ever experience anywhere else. Think of the immense power in a lightning bolt. It's so powerful, it's seriously scary. Well, all the power in every lightning bolt that has ever bolted down since the dawn of time is just a drop in the ocean compared to the power of God. And we're going to talk about that power right now, because it's that very power that is the key to leading an extraordinary life. When I was young, I learned the harder you work, the longer you work, the faster you work, the more you'll get done, the more items you'll be able to tick off your to-do list, and the more impact you'll be able to have in the lives of other people. But quite a few years ago, God convicted me to, in fact, pray more and do less. Let me say that again. Pray more and do less. Recently on the program, I mentioned the young woman at my church, Lucy, who was convicted through one of the posts on my blog to do just that. And you know what she reported? She said, "Wow, the things I do just have so much more impact now." After just a month, she said, "I'm having all these conversations with my friends about Jesus, and one by one, they're coming to faith." I just smiled to myself, because that's exactly what I found when I decided to pray more and to do less. And you know why it is that when we pray more and do less, we get more done? It's because prayer unleashes the power of God. And it's the power of God that makes for an extraordinary life on this earth, because the power of God is so much greater than anything we can ever begin to imagine. Now, engaging that power is something that Jesus didn't seem to have a problem doing. He just did it. You and I, of course, will say, "Yeah, sure, right. What do you expect? He's the Son of God. Of course he had all the power. That's him. I'm just me." But let's take a look at how Jesus tapped into that power, the power of God to do extraordinary things. Matthew chapter 8, beginning at verse 5. When Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, appealing to him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed in terrible distress." And Jesus said to him, "Look, I'll come and cure him." But the centurion answered, "Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come in under my roof, but just speak the word, and I know that my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes. I say to the other, 'Come,' and he comes. And to my slave, 'Do this,' and the slave does it." When Jesus heard him, he was amazed, and he said to those who were following him, "Truly I tell you, in no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from the east and west and will eat with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the heirs of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And to the centurion Jesus said, "Go, let it be done for you according to your faith." And the servant was healed that very hour. Let me ask you something. Was there any uncertainty in Jesus' mind about the power that God had given to him? Apparently not. He just did what came before him, and what came before him that day was a man of faith. Importantly, not one of God's chosen people, not a Jew, but a Roman officer, one of the people whose job it was to occupy and to oppress God's chosen people. But he was a man with faith. In fact, it was faith so great that Jesus marveled at it. "I tell you, many will come from the east and west and will eat with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the heirs of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And it was this man's faith that caused the power of God to flow through Jesus and on into the centurion's servant, who, by the way, was nowhere to be seen. Remote control, distance healing. Pretty amazing stuff. No wonder Jesus marveled at this man's faith. By way of sharp contrast, when Jesus was in his own hometown of Nazareth, he was able to perform very few miracles indeed. Why? Well, let's have a look. Mark tells us in his Gospel, chapter 6, beginning at verse 3, "Because they took offense in Jesus and didn't believe in him. He did hardly any deeds of power there." In fact, Mark chapter 6, verse 6 says he was amazed at their unbelief. I love that. With the centurion, Jesus marveled at his faith. But here, with God's own people, he was amazed at their unbelief in his own hometown. It seems to me that one of the keys to an extraordinary life is extraordinary faith. Let me say it again. One of the keys to an extraordinary life is extraordinary faith. Faith that goes against reason in the miracle-working power of Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus never turned anyone away who came to ask him to perform them a miracle, to pour the power of God out upon their lives. Not one. Why do we walk around in the miry clay, feet heavy, shoulders hunched, when we have access to the indescribable power of God to get his will done on this earth? Question for you today. Would you rather that Jesus marveled at your extraordinary faith in him or at your extraordinary unbelief in him? Well, would you rather he walks away pinching himself to make sure that the faith he'd just seen in you was for real, or that he walked away shaking his head wondering, how could you display such manifest unbelief in this Jesus in whom you confess to believe? There are so many things in this life that we can't do, so many mountains we can't move. There are so many things that Jesus calls us to do in his name that for some reason we think we have to do in our power. Sure, life's full of mundane, full of challenges, full of hardships, but life is also full of the power of God. And it seems to me that the difference between the extraordinary and the ordinary is a bit like the difference between the centurion and one of those locals in Nazareth.
I'm Bernie Diamond, and we'll get back to today's Christianity Works message in just a moment. Time is fast running out for you to be able to request your copy of our latest life application booklet here at Christianity Works. It's called Your Extraordinary Life Awaits. And yes, it's all about living the absolutely extraordinary life that God has ready and waiting for you. Again, that booklet is called Your Extraordinary Life Awaits. And right now, I'd love to send you your very own free copy of this e-booklet. You can request yours by visiting ChristianityWorks.com online. You'll see that free offer right there at the top of the homepage. Just click on it, pop in your name and email address, and you'll receive your link to the e-booklet in just seconds. And while you're there, don't forget to check out Christianity Works TV. You can watch this week's message online. You'll see it right there on the homepage as well, together with so many other free resources. Because here at Christianity Works, we're passionate about seeing your life transformed as the Holy Spirit takes God's Word, writes it onto your heart, and leads you into an intimate, dynamic, powerful relationship with Jesus. See, that's why we do what we do. So again, that life application booklet is called Your Extraordinary Life Awaits, and you can request your free copy right now at ChristianityWorks.com. Now, sometimes, looking at some parts of the church today, large parts in fact, you could swear that Jesus' great commission to his disciples was build something and they'll come. Well, it wasn't. The key verb, the key doing word in that great commission is go. Go is such an extraordinary word.
We are such masters of self-delusion, you and I. Come on, we are. Well, at least I am. And I know for a fact that so often the church is too. Take Jesus' great commission to his disciples. All power in heaven and earth has been given unto me, said Jesus. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And remember, I'll be with you wherever you go, even unto the end of the age. Matthew chapter 28, the very last thing that Jesus said to his disciples. Notice what he told them to do. He told them to go. Go on, get out there, get amongst it. This is what I've called you to do. And here we are, 2,000 years on, building massive cathedrals, still sitting in our pews expecting them to come to us. Now, that's a little unfair. So many of God's people and God's ministries and God's churches are out there amongst it, going just like Jesus told them to. Jesus didn't invite us to build a country club. He called us to go out into the world and be his hands and his feet, scarred as they are, and his voice and his heart of compassion to a lost and hurting world. To the parents of that little boy in the soccer club whose marriage is on the brink. To the guy who sits on the bench in the mall alone each day, a bit on the nose, in need of a good wash. when I was at Bible College, I was required to go and spend 2 semesters with a ministry doing practical field training. The ministry I went to as a raw, wet-behind-the-ears seminary student was Christianity Works, this very same ministry that I'm involved in today. It leaves me speechless to think at a time when I knew so little, I was already writing and producing radio programs that were being heard by rather a lot of people. What was the principal of the college thinking? What were my lecturers thinking? And come on, what was Jesus thinking, unleashing me in my ignorance to preach the gospel? Scary thought. Surely I needed to graduate first. Surely I needed to become a much deeper theologian first. Surely there had to be something more. Well, I wonder. Not long into his public ministry, Jesus sent his disciples out to do some field ministry training. He sent them off completely without him and without anything much else either, it would seem. These guys were just fishermen and tax collectors, seriously uneducated, unqualified, unreligious dudes with absolutely no qualifications to do what Jesus was calling them to do. I seriously wonder sometimes if Jesus really knows what he's up to. I mean, come on, really. Have a listen to this. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 6. Then he went out among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them 2 by 2 and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on 2 tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake the dust off your sandals as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons, anointed people with oil who were sick and cured them. Now just stop and imagine that that had been you that Jesus sent out like a sheep to slaughter. He gives you the authority to cast out demons. You've known him for 5 minutes at this point. Are you feeling confident? Oh, and by the way, don't take any food or money or a change of clothes because you won't need them. What, is he dead set crazy, this Jesus? Maybe he's on the same stuff as John the Baptist, that lunatic out in the wilderness was on not so long ago. Do you see how easy it is for us to think in conventional terms? Do you see how easy it is for us to sit in comfortable pews in a comfortable church building and complain about the air conditioning that's not working properly? See, to us, conventional equals comfortable. Conventional equals convenient. Conventional is all about enjoying the experience. And in any case, we're not that qualified yet. We need to sit in those safe, comfortable pews just a little bit longer before we get our hands too dirty. Let me tell you something, friend, and this is for me as much as it is for you. If we're someone who believes in Jesus, then Jesus has given us the authority to cast out demons. He has given us the authority to minister in his love, in his compassion, in his power to those around us. And not only has he commissioned us, he's commanded us to go. Conventional wisdom says that I should never have been allowed to go out back then when I was so green and tell people about Jesus. But that's what led me on to doing what I'm involved in now, that reaches far wider to many more people than I ever, ever could have imagined back then. Because when God calls us, when God commissions us, his power flows around us and through us to achieve what he'd always planned to achieve. It was the same with those early disciples. Conventional wisdom says they should never have been sent out there on their own. But they weren't on their own. The power and the presence of Christ was with them and around them and ahead of them and behind them through the presence of the Holy Spirit. And as a result, they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons. They anointed many with oil who were sick and cured them. You know what I get out of this? Greatness. It's just about going. Just get up and go. Go where Jesus calls you to go. Go where Jesus leads you to go. Just take the first few steps, as wacky and as weird as it may seem to you, because when he gives us the authority to do what he's called us to do, watch out. His authority gives us the power to prevail in what he's called us to do. There are many comfortable, suburban, pew-sitting Christians who will live out their very ordinary existence in that church. Then there are those crazy disciples who dare to go, who dare to accept the authority given to them, who dare to live out a truly extraordinary life.
does want you and me to live an extraordinary life. No, it's not a convenient life. It's not comfortable. It's not going to be easy, but it will be extraordinary. And if you need a hand taking the first few steps into that life, then don't forget that this teaching series, How to Live an Extraordinary Life, is a four-part series and it's available online right now. So if you missed any of them so far, if you're really serious about living this extraordinary life, then you can listen to each of the messages at ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see today's radio message right there on the homepage. Stream it, download the audio, the transcript, subscribe to the podcast. You can even watch this week's teaching on Christianity Works TV. It's on the homepage as well. And while you're there, check out the treasure trove of free resources like Fresh, the Christianity Works daily e-devotional, words of inspiration, hope and encouragement delivered right to your smartphone, tablet or computer each weekday. It's all about helping you to live out each and every day in the victory that Jesus came to give you. That's why the ministry of Christianity Works doesn't end here. That website is just such a rich source of resources for you. Check it out, ChristianityWorks.com. Thanks so much for joining me today. I'm Bernie Diamond. I'll catch you again soon right here on Christianity Works with another message of God's love, God's grace, and God's power for each one of us in Jesus Christ.